How are you doing down there in Capitol Hill again?
Well, thanks very much for having me back once again. We're here. We're muddling through, and I guess that's Congress is going to be on the muddle through plan for the rest of 2014, and then when you get into the lame duck session after this November's elections here in Washington, the U.S., you get into the next Congress. That's when I think the fireworks will really begin.
They seem to be in complete denial about the rising tensions and problems that people are getting with, out in the grassroots here.
I think that's absolutely correct, and it's in no small part because despite what they say, right here in Washington, D.C., it's like we're living in Versailles. If you are in Racine, Wisconsin, or out in Oklahoma someplace, it's not in the oil patch, or eastern North Carolina, and you're a middle-aged guy trying to hang on, keep his business going, trying to keep your job, it's tough out there. It's really tough. And if you are employed, your purchasing power is not keeping up with rising costs of various sorts. So it's tough. But here, the housing market never really did take much of a hit, and it's really a red-hot housing market. People's pension plans, our 401k plans are back. People have defined benefit pension plans here at a much higher rate than the rest of the country does. Also, because there's so much government money in the form not just of federal salaries, but also in the form of contracts coming into the so-called Beltway Bandits, people that got all kinds of high-priced special contracts to do this, that, or the other thing for the Department of Defense and other agencies of government, aggregate incomes never went down. And, in fact, when all the stimulus spending came on board, the various Obama stimulus spending and other kinds of programs, a way disproportionate amount came here. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a news article from earlier this year where the Gallup organization had gone and taken a survey of economic confidence in the United States, and the single place where economic confidence was the highest was, surprise, Washington, D.C., 6 of the 10 wealthiest counties in America are in and around Washington, D.C. Now, you know it's not because people here are inventing life-saving serums or captains of industry or anything. It's just been a sucking sound of pulling resources in from around the country and brought it here to Washington. So because of that, people go, yeah, it's tough out there, but they don't really feel it. They're not really feeling it. And so as such, there's not the sense of urgency. Those of us who think that we are really facing some really, really existential threats. This isn't just a particularly nasty post-World War II cyclical recession, but we are really on the precipice of a cliff that people just really can't get their heads around because they can't get their heads around things like the exponential function and all these negative feedback loops that come from it. There's just no sense of urgency here. It's just, let's get through the next election and we'll deal with these problems like slicing a slice of bologna off one slice at a time. And, of course, they never get around to doing even the skinniest slice of bologna, but we now, to the point, we need to have some real major surgery on that sausage. But
Well, I would say that the difference I see in dealing with Washington, 20 years ago, I would actually speak directly to people, politicians that understood, and they would come with serious questions. I mean, today, it seems like the only time I get asked a question is when the stock market goes down because it does affect only their 401ks. Otherwise, it's like, okay, fine, real estate, well, it's okay here.
Well, I have a friend of mine who was here on Capitol Hill and was very, very deeply involved with in the 2008-2009 financial crisis was going on. He was in rooms that I wasn't in and was in there with, Bernanke, Hank Paulson, Tim Geithner, and, of course, all the elected, you know, Treasury Secretary, you know, all the folks from Treasury and elected leadership, both parties of the House and the Senate. So when people, when the spaghetti was really hitting the fan in a big way, and one of the things that he voiced to me was his disappointment that in the midst of all of that, when the real concern was, hey, millions of Americans had seen their retirement savings go in half, had seen their house go underwater, and all the various problems, you know, all the problems that everyone remembers so well, that behind the scenes, not exclusively, but too often, what the argument was making sure that they had, that the various political figures had a quote-unquote viable alternative to throw out there on the table just to make sure that they weren't the ones that got the political downside for this. We don't want to get this blamed on us. It was not, hey, what are we going to do about these millions of people that are in real trouble? It's how do we keep our political party or our political individuals, make sure that they continue to live through this politically or maybe benefit from it politically.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly with the conspiracy people, they attribute such vast wisdom to some of these people, and they've never sat in these rooms. And when you do, it's like, you know, is there a light even on? I mean, there's no comprehension as to the real scope of what we face. It's and there's no discussion long term. It's what am I going to do right now? That's it. And I've seen this not just in the United States, in Europe. I mean, it's alarming